Israel from that day. In other words, in one day, the nation of Israel will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel 12:1, thy people shall be delivered. Romans 11:26, Paul the apostle, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, all Israel shall be saved. There's a chart there, although some at the back because the screen is somewhat small, but we have here of the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the rapture of the church, as I said, the next biblical event. And I trust that each one here this afternoon knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You have the assurance of salvation. I come across so many people these days who don't have assurance. And yet Paul says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not perhaps, not maybe, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Be absolutely sure of your salvation, friends. Because in reality, you are a breath away from eternity. Daniel 12:1, we read, in that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Again, remember what the very fact that our Lord Jesus Christ confirms Daniel's prophecy in Matthew 24, verses 15, also 21 through to 22, when he refers to that prophecy that we find in Daniel 24 through to 27. But in one day, Israel will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the temple being rebuilt. We see the Russian Muslim invasion. All Israel, we believe here, will be saved. The two witnesses and 144,000 martyred. But here, of course, in the mid part of the week, the whole scenario changes. Because we find there that the Lord says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, for then shall be great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, Israel, those days shall be shortened. Beginning of the tribulation, they are allowed to worship after the temple has been built, the third temple, which will not be filled with the glory of the Lord. They're converted. Well, their worship now is totally different, because now you have a saved nation worshipping the Almighty God, giving praise to the Messiah, and the Antichrist does not like it. And so the tables change dramatically. Let's move on. Thus saith the Lord, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy kingdom shall be established forever. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 13:17 and 18. Jeremiah talks about David. Thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and do sacrifice continually. Jeremiah 33:19-22, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if he can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and there shall not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, and my ministers, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so I will multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites shall minister unto me. In other words, the covenant has been made. God has made the covenant. Anything else will not be worthy. Verse 25 there in Jeremiah 33:23-36. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, which God has, God will keep his promise. God will keep his promise. Thus saith the Lord. God said it, that settles it. And here is in Matthew 6 and verses 9 through 15, we know, of course, the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. But you know, it's so many. I don't know the churches you go to. Many just say this prayer out of tradition. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Just repetition. And yet this is such an important prayer. because the Lord will say to the disciples, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What is he talking about? He's talking about the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. And so often there's prayer said in churches who don't even believe in the millennial kingdom, who think they're in the kingdom now. Well, I've got to tell you, they're reading the wrong Bible, or another Bible, because they're not reading the one I'm reading. The prayer is to encourage the disciples, to encourage the saints of the coming kingdom, of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet earth. A couple more little charts here, okay? The manifestation of Christ in all the earth as a righteous branch. And again, these draw attention to the millennium. In Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, as amongst men at Jerusalem, as the son of Abraham, as the son of David, as the son of man, as the king of righteousness, as the king of peace, as the king of Israel, as the king of kings, as the king of all the earth, as the mighty God, as the supreme teacher. Shalom. And as some dear saint said to me as I came in this afternoon, shalom, shalom. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a day that will be. Amen? What a day that will be. And that is why this is so important as well. If you die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Friends, I would urge you to be absolutely sure. Because as I've already said, the next biblical event to take place is the rapture, or what we might term as the departure of the church, when Christ will come for his own. And those who are truly born again of the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, I trust that each one of you in attendance here has the assurance of heaven. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And more importantly, while our Lord tarries, each one here this afternoon is a breath away from eternity. Either an eternity with a hopeless end in the lake of fire, or a glorious eternity with an endless hope of everlasting righteousness in heaven. And I would urge you, if you have not got absolute assurance, don't leave here this afternoon without doing business with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is about a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you. Lord, we've looked at so much, and there's so much that just we can just continue to talk and develop and have greater understanding. But Father, just we've caught a glimpse this afternoon of your precious promises, your sovereignty. And in spite of the sin of Israel, Lord, the very fact that you chose them, you made the covenant. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've chosen a people that you've used as a vehicle to bring to us your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring to us your precious word, to bring to us your precious promises. Oh, Father, to bring to us that blessed hope. And Father, I would ask this afternoon, Lord, by your Spirit, if there be anyone here, anyone that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not have that assurance, then that you might do business in their hearts this afternoon, that they would come under conviction of wanting to be absolutely certain that if they were to die tonight, they'd be absent from the body, and present with your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.